Well, hello everyone. Thanks for being here. We are live right now because Michael Knowles just released a video statement of his decision to not moderate the Candace Owens Andrew Wilson debate, and it was a double-edged sword, as I'm going to show you. It's about a 6-minute video, and for whatever reason, I was just going to release this. This wasn't my plan. I wasn't going to release this as the episode today. It was about something completely different. But I saw the video and I thought to myself, you know, this would really call to be live so I can interact with you guys. As always, if you want to support me, you can leave a super chat. But if not, I want to interact with as many of you as possible. If you are live today, thank you for being here. I'm going to show you the entire video here. And then I'm also going to give you an update on if the debate will be happening or not. And a lot of you have used this video and reached out to me and said, well, where is Michael right and where he's wrong? That's what I'm going to address today. And we're going to get into some big picture stuff about whether it's ethical to talk about Candace Owens in the way that we have. With that, let's go to Michael Knowles, and I'm going to be pausing throughout.
I woke up Friday morning to the news that I had been invited to moderate a debate on the murder of my friend Charlie Kirk between Andrew Wilson and Candace Owens. Andrew had suggested me as moderator, and Candace accepted, and then they started arranging the details of the debate. There was just one person they forgot to ask. From what I've gathered, the debate apparently involves big money, hundreds of thousands of dollars raised as prize money or something. I'm actually not totally sure what the purpose of the money is. I think I'm even being offered a cut. In any case, after giving it serious consideration over the weekend, I will be declining the invitation. The whole internet seems to think this...
Let me just pause right there. I just want to say, I want to take this one thing at a time because there's so much in this that I agree with, and there's so much that I disagree with too. And so I want to be like so specific about it. Let me just say straight off the bat, I think him declining to moderate this debate is a good thing. I do actually. I think this is the right call for Michael. I'm not saying I don't want the debate to happen. I just don't think Michael was the right moderator.
Debate will be must-see content. And I'm sure it will be. I bet it'll get zillions of views. That is, in fact, why I'm declining. I'm gratified that the debaters think I have the right temperament to moderate. I try to be judicious, not get too emotional, not call people names, and so on. But in many ways, I'm probably the single worst person to moderate this debate. Because for 10 or 11 months now, I have been very possibly the only person on the internet who has consistently maintained that our friend's murder should not be used for podcast content. On the debate matter itself, I've said many times, I think the evidence is pretty clear that Tyler Robinson murdered Charlie. But that fact alone would not preclude me from moderating. Everyone has opinions, doesn't mean you can't be fair. The bigger issue is that even if I didn't think Tyler Robinson murdered Charlie, I am certainly convinced that the guilt for Charlie's murder should be adjudicated with gravity and sobriety in a court of law, rather than in an Ouroboros of endless, not to mention lucrative, podcasts. The only silver lining in the storm cloud of Charlie's murder was the brief unity it brought to the right.
Okay, I want to address that as well. So I completely agree with this, obviously. I think all of us are fully on board with the fact that there's a real financial gain for people like Baron Coleman. Let me just dispel some of the stupid conspiracy theorist crap out there saying that these people have not benefited from this. Baron Coleman, did anyone know the name Baron Coleman before 4 months ago? He had nothing. He had absolutely no show. His entire show is on top of the conspiracy theories that he and Candace Owens have created out of thin air. So Michael's totally right about that. Candace Owens obviously was known, but as I've proved many times, in a lot of ways, her subscriber growth and her revenue and viewer growth had stalled significantly. And the reason why, by the way, this is just true. I'm going to talk about this on the show. This is what I wanted to talk about actually on the show today, but I moved it to tomorrow. Right now, there is an industry-wide decrease in views. And the reason why that is because, and this is just how it is, whether you like it or not, when you're in conservative media, you thrive when there's a Democrat in the White House because you are the opposition. You're the watchdog. That's always been the point of journalism or media. I don't really believe podcasts or journalists, but they function similarly. And so essentially when Trump won and we won and then he took office, it was like, what do we talk about? There's not as much to talk about. And in a horrible way, Charlie Kirk being assassinated was just a gift from God to Candace Owens. I shouldn't say gift from God, but I say God in the lower G sense, as in like her God giving her a gift. And I fully believe, by the way, she's an agent of Satan. So that's what I mean when I say that. But it was a gift to her in that she had that avenue to pursue something when we were in between election cycles and there was nothing to talk about. So Michael is absolutely right on that. Let's continue.
You might recall it was very brief. The right came together as leftists at every level of politics revealed their rot and cruelty by justifying and celebrating Charlie's murder, in some cases before his body was even cold. Soon after, however, a cottage industry sprung up of Charlie murder content. Candace, of course, launched her series on the subject, which I've said many times from the beginning I thought was wrong and I wish you wouldn't do it. But it got lots of views. People found it very interesting. Then all sorts of other podcasters started doing their own shows. Full-length shows, weeks of shows, months of shows about how much they hated Candace's shows about Charlie's murder. And those podcasts got lots of views too.
Okay. So now Michael is talking about me, essentially, right? He's talking about me. He's talking about people like Gary Melton, talking about many others, okay? Even Ben Shapiro, who, yes, he talks about so many things. He's also talking about this, right? And this is where I just have to disagree with him. And it gets very frustrating to be put. I mean, it seems in the same sentence, he's saying there's a whole industry out there that is being fueled by Charlie Kirk's assassination. And that Candace Owens is in that boat. And that I'm in that boat. And this is where I get very frustrated, because I'm not denying that my podcast has gotten larger as a result of Charlie Kirk being assassinated. That's just undeniably true. And it's a horrible fact, but it's true. However, it has not gotten bigger because I have seized on the opportunity and tried to extort his murder in some sort of way. That's what Candace Owens and Baron Coleman have done. What I have done, and what many others have done as well, is they are actually talking more and debunking the falsities and the lies that Candace Owens and Baron Coleman and Elizabeth Lane and all those people are promulgating. And it's actually less about Charlie. Like, we're not coming up with our own theories. And he'll get into this in a second. But anytime I talk about the Tyler Robinson case or the Charlie Kirk assassination, the people I'm citing are actual state investigators. It's not my theory. I've just never even talked about it. I've never really even gone into the motives of Tyler Robinson that much. All I've talked about is what we know from the preliminary hearing. When it comes to conspiracy theories, the only thing that we engage in, and I say we because there's, you know, a small team of us who are trying to make content like this, we are simply trying to debunk the lies that already happened. And as we'll get into, if we don't have permission to do that, then that can be extrapolated to almost any other political issue out there, including many that Michael Knowles talks about.
The other group of podcasters' justification was that they wanted to debunk Candace's theories, to get people to stop watching her shows. Many of them, I suspect, had very good intentions. But I said at the time that I thought it was a bad idea, that it would be counterproductive, that we should state our opinions, of course, tell the truth as we see it, but that to obsess over every theory and speculation and provocation not only would not work, but in fact would do more harm than good to everyone and everything other than the view counts and bottom lines of the various podcasters. I predicted that this issue would only be resolved in a court of law, that opinions would only be changed by the prosecution and the defense.
Okay, and again, this is where I have to step in and just say I completely disagree, and with all respect to Michael, he just does not understand this issue like we do because we've been entrenched in it. The outcome of the trial will not change most of these people's opinions. They will not. Some of them, yes. Like a very small percentage, absolutely. I have made the case for a very long time that if with every podcast I make, only one person watches and changes their mind, totally worth it to me. I think it matters that much. I really think this is a question of spirituality and the soul. I think conspiracy theories really target the soul in a way that other political phenomenons don't. And because of that, I really, really have made this channel and this show anti-conspiracy theory. Again, not anti-conspiracies. Yes, they happen sometimes, but there's evidence for it. When there's not evidence, what it essentially is asking you to do is lie and change how you perceive reality. And the problem with that is reality is not created by man. Reality is created by God. And so when you are out of touch with reality, you are out of touch with God. It's impossible to have a relationship with God if you are not aligned with his reality. So this is a spiritual matter to me. I know people like to dumb it down to just, oh, you just want clicks from Candace Owens. But I could use that same argument for almost anything that Michael Knowles talks about. Like almost anything. Oh, you're talking about Abdul El Sayed again. You must just be grifting off of the DSA. No, of course not. I'm sure Michael Knowles believes that the DSA is a real existential threat to the United States. Therefore, he should talk about it. And I could levy at him. But do you really think a member of the DSA is going to watch the Michael Knowles show and change their mind? No way. I'm probably right in saying that. But again, Michael Knowles could easily counter and say, well, what if just one changes? Isn't that worth it? And I would agree. I think that is worth it. And by the way, if Michael Knowles profits along the line, like along the way on that, I think that's okay as well. Tracy, you just commented, our side isn't profiting off of Candace like Candace and her cohorts. I actually slightly disagree with this. So I agree that Candace and her cohorts are profiting to the umpteenth percentage, like 10x, 20x, 100x. But the reality is in a lot of ways, we are profiting off of Candace. And the reason why I point that out is that's a fundamental difference from profiting off of Charlie Kirk and his assassination. Baron Coleman. So this is an interesting argument that they use a lot of the time. TPUSA and Erica Kirk, have they benefited or have they profited off of the publicity of Charlie Kirk being assassinated? I would argue that they have. And I would argue that Candace Owens and Baron Coleman have also profited off of Charlie Kirk's assassination. The difference is that Candace Owens and Baron Coleman do it through lying about him, his legacy, who he was, and what happened to him. TPUSA and Erica Kirk benefit from carrying on his legacy and something that he created. So when Candace Owens followers say, oh, but Josh, they profit too. Good. These are not apples to apples. And the point I'm making with your comment, Tracy, and I'm not trying to pick on you, but I'm looking at this. I think we're in agreement on this. Maybe it's semantics, but there's a difference from people like me or other podcasters now profiting off of debunking Candace Owens. It's actually one step removed from Charlie Kirk's assassination. Meaning, if Candace Owens and Baron Coleman's lies did not exist, would I be talking about this? Probably not. You know, I would probably be covering all the court hearings and the documents, but it would result in many less episodes than I've created. As much as I talk about Candace Owens, I talk about other things as well. I have a full show on another, you know, on another company, on another YouTube channel. And never talk about Candace Owens or Tucker Carlson over there. I do a lot of Islam and jihadist content on this channel. I talk about Tucker Carlson and other people. So I'm just saying there are other things to talk about, but this is one of the most important issues. I apologize if that's a little bit on my soapbox. I'm going through the comments here. The point of me doing these lives is I want to interact with you guys. And if you want to support me through a super chat, I appreciate that. If not, totally okay. I just want to respond to what we see here. Let's continue on with the Michael Knowles video. We've got about half of it left.
The sort of thing we began to see in the pretrial hearing last month, that all the rest of it was noise at best, and at worst, a very dark form of entertainment. Basically, everyone ignored my opinion, and many people harshly criticized me for suggesting it. But here we are 11 months later, and despite innumerable podcasts on the subject, the matter has not been resolved.
Okay, again, I just have to point out, there have been so many podcasts mentioned about communism. There have been probably thousands of books written by communism, and yet the conflict is not resolved. And I would argue communism is as ridiculous as the conspiracy theories that Candace Owens has created. And yet people still believe them. Am I supposed to believe that Michael Knowles is going to stop raging a war against communism? Of course not. So it's irrelevant, is my point. Should we always endeavor to be prudent and strategic? Of course. That's always going to be important. And I don't think that we should just chalk it up to screaming at a wall. I think we should do things that we believe will make an impact. But if we're just screaming at a wall, that's still better than doing nothing.
It has gotten worse. The appetite for the Charlie murder industry is higher than ever. So this debate will be the Super Bowl of Charlie murder content. Millions of people will watch it. Lots of money will be made. Lots of opinions will be put forward. And I strongly suspect that this too will fail to put the matter to rest. Lots of very fine people, people I quite like and admire, friends of mine, think this debate is a good idea. I am in the distinct minority of people who have consistently held that all of this chatter is not doing any good whatsoever.
All right. Really quick. And by the way, I see some comments. People are talking about how I mischaracterize Andrew Wilson. I'm going to address who Andrew Wilson is in just 1 second. Because a lot of you are very upset with what I said about Andrew Wilson. And I have zero apologies to give. I count myself incredibly lucky to tell the truth about Andrew Wilson. And I just want to say really quick, on this point, I disagree with Michael Knowles. I do believe that a debate could be worthwhile. Why do I say that? Because again, if only a few people watched it and changed their minds, that would be worth it. Now, there's some downsides to this debate that Michael Knowles is about to bring up. And I think these are really important, actually. And I agree with him on most of them. So let's hear those.
Someone else on all sides of the subject seems to think that we're just one podcast away from settling it. So because of that, I'm sure Andrew and Candace will have no trouble finding a suitable moderator, probably several, who holds a different view of the genre than I do. However, since I was briefly roped into all of this, I would like to make a couple of proposals before I end my involuntary involvement. First, I understand there's a lot of money on the line in this debate. I don't know the exact number or even how it's supposed to be distributed. If it's a split among the debaters and the moderator, or if it's a prize for the winner, or if there will even be a declared winner. I don't know. What I propose, though, is that every penny of the prize money, as well as the video monetization revenue from however many platforms this is streamed on and restreamed on, probably hundreds of them, goes to Charlie's kids. I would suggest a college scholarship fund, but Charlie famously hated college, other than Hillsdale, maybe Liberty, a few others. But put it in a trust for that, something, some way to avoid a circumstance in which anyone is profiting off our buddy's corpse. My second proposal.
Okay, completely agree on this point. When they were talking about offering Candace Owens money for the debate, I thought it was funny because it just proved how much she didn't want to do it. But then when the debate got serious and they were talking about actually doing it, suddenly the money got moved up to $500,000. Then Andrew Wilson comes out and randomly says, you know what, actually, let's get some donors for this and I'll make $500,000 too. So $1 million will be put up, and then we'll even give 50 grand to the moderator. Completely unacceptable. And I think, you know, to give him a little bit of grace, I think Andrew Wilson realized that after the fact and realized, you know, I got to change that. That does sound a little scummy. But it's like already the motivations were off. Like, I wish more people would see that. Like, that's ridiculous, you guys. The amount of ad revenue alone that you would get from this would be in the tens of thousands of dollars. They would be amply monetized without some sort of random upfront amount of money. And I would do the same thing as Michael Knowles, where I would say every penny from ad sales goes to a charity of some sort. Later on in the year, we're actually going to be announcing some exciting charitable contributions for my show that I hope you guys will be engaged in along those similar lines that Michael Knowles is talking about. But the fact that money was a part of it in the first place is utterly despicable, but perfectly in character with who Candace Owens is. Like, it was actually the perfect thing to show people. And anyway, I think it was horrible of Andrew Wilson to suggest in the first place. It seems like he actually kind of felt bad about it. But, you know, the fact that it was even mentioned, frankly, is kind of damning.
Is that everyone involved, the debaters, the moderator, the audience, everyone, agrees to keep the cameras rolling for as long as it takes to hash out all of the issues and opinions and intuitions and anything else that can possibly come to mind, and then to put an end to the Charlie murder industry for the sake of Charlie's widow, Erica, for the sake of his kids, for the sake of his whole family, as well as for the sake of his political legacy, and not least for the sake of justice. Tyler Robinson's defense can make its case. The state can make its case. The rest of us can comment as hard facts come to light from the authorities and from the accused.
Okay, see, and this is where I agree. It's like, yes, that's all I've been calling for ever. Like, I've never come up with an opinion or a theory on my own. All I've done is actually report on the authorities and what they're saying. But at the same time, if Candace Owens and Baron Coleman are going to say something demonstrably false about the case, about my community, because I live here, about people that I know personally, you're asking me to just stay silent and not do anything? That seems ridiculous. If you're saying that's okay, but it's not okay to come up with random theories, we're in perfect lockstep. But that really needs to be directed more towards their side than ours.
Those are my suggestions, since I was sort of asked. I have no expectation that anyone will pay any more attention to those suggestions than they did to my similar recommendations many months ago. But the best thing that could come out of this debate is for it to be the final word of the Charlie Kirk murder industry. If I thought that were likely to happen, I might have agreed to moderate. And I'm open to being proven wrong.
Okay, cool. I love all of that. I would love for the whole industry to end as well, and for all of us to be able to just agree that the proof that Tyler Robinson did this is massive, and any doubt that you have will be most likely put away during the trial, and we can all be patient enough to wait until then. In the meantime, if court documents come out, we can look at those court documents, report on them, analyze them together. There's no problem with that, but we don't need to come up with random conspiracy theories. Now, I want to say something about Andrew Wilson, because all of you got very upset with me for saying that Andrew Wilson was not a great guy. And you can leave your questions down below for me to answer as we finish up the stream today, because it's not going to be a full hour. It's going to be, 40 minutes max. I do appreciate you guys being here. We have a lot of people on right now. But here's what I want to say about Andrew Wilson. Andrew Wilson has said all women are retarded. Andrew Wilson in April called Erica Kirk a femcon. And Andrew Wilson has said a lot of other really horrible things about women, many of which were said in jest. And I don't think it's funny either way. Like, I don't think that you should joke about that either way. But those two things that were said before that, I don't think were said in jest. And so that's why I said in the podcast last week that I do not think Andrew Wilson, I called him slimy. And between him asking $500K to debate Candace Owens and saying that about women, I think that proves my point. A lot of you are saying Andrew Wilson said some bad things about your church. That's why you don't like him. Frankly, it has nothing to do with that. Everyone ever has said bad things about me and my church. I didn't even know Andrew Wilson had said bad things about my church, to be honest with you, really. I don't know what he said. So if I had enemies for every single person who said something about the church, like, it would just be me and the members of my church and maybe some of you, but like, that would be it. So it has nothing to do with that, but I'm, whatever, you can tell me in the comments. I'm looking at the comments right now to see if I'm wrong. Yeah. I mean, Harmony says he may be slimy, but he's a great debater. I never said he wasn't. I agree with you there. And that's why I've said the debate could be fruitful in some ways. It's his style of debate / entertainment, maybe, but I also think I have the permission to say he's slimy then. Doesn't mean his ideas are all bad. Doesn't mean he can't debate someone. It doesn't even mean he's like a horrible person either. I just think some of his viewpoints are abhorrent. And that's what I said. So all those things can be true at once. Christopher says, Andrew's far from great. I think the comment about women that you just said is probably taken out of context. At least he doesn't push conspiracies about Charlie's assassination. Yeah, but like MS Now just now came out with a large kind of documentary about Candace Owens and her conspiracy theories and how all of it's crap. Are we supposed to say that MSNBC, now called MS Now, is like a great media organization because at least they're not saying conspiracies about Charlie Kirk? No, of course not. That's all I'm saying. It's like, yeah, you're right. We can be allies on this issue, but I wouldn't allow anyone to listen to Andrew Wilson in my family if they wanted opinions on how they ought to treat women. That's just the reality. Just so you guys know, if you guys have any other questions, you can leave a super chat below or a comment. I'll try to answer all of them. But just so you know where we're at with the debate, the biggest hang up right now, and it's like super fluid, so maybe it's changed since I even looked last, but the biggest problem was Candace Owens was wanting to essentially center the debate around this claim that we were 99% sure that Tyler Robinson did it. And so all she was going to do is kind of try to poke holes in what we don't know yet, which is a ridiculous debate, really, because we haven't even had the trial yet. Like, you've got people who are actually ethical on one side, and all we've got is a preliminary hearing, which is just, it was a lot for a preliminary hearing, but it's very little compared to everything we will get. And they've got everything they've ever made up. And so in terms of a debate, it's a bit unfair. And Andrew Wilson was saying, yes, we can debate that, but we should also be debating all the crap you've said. Like, you should have to answer for that. And Candace Owens doesn't seem to want to do that, which is like the biggest smoking gun in the world. How does her fans look at that and not think that that's horrible? I don't know how she gets around that. But that's where we're at right now. And it's unclear if it's going to happen. We don't have a moderator chosen yet. I don't think Michael Knowles was the right guy for the job because he's got, you know, he's the godfather of Candace's child, one of them at least. The other people are far too opportunistic, I've seen. I mean, I'm seeing all kinds of random people, like comedians and just randos that have nothing to do with this whatsoever. It's not that you have to be tied to it, but it's just like, if you're a random comedian, why are you moderating this debate? I don't understand that at all. Thank you so much, Hilsey, 955-2. Appreciate that. I know some of you probably disagree with me on how I feel about Michael Knowles, but you know, I just think Michael is a really good voice in conservatism. And so it does disappoint me to see this double standard. I mean, the thing I just go back to over and over again is like, where do we apply this logic anywhere else, Michael? We're just not allowed to talk about something anymore because you personally think that it's not going to do us any good. Like, I don't understand that at all. I feel like fundamentally, the point of a political commentator is twofold. It's one, to report on the news, and it's two, to give moral clarity and say what you believe to be right or wrong. It's so funny. I get these comments all the time that are like, who are you to tell me what I can say or do or whatever? It's like, well, I'm a person who has morals. Like, if you have morals, yes, you should encourage other people around them, around you, to do the same things. Or people will say, well, you're trying to censor Andrew Wilson by saying he says ugly things about women. It's like, censoring someone means I'm going to YouTube and saying their video should get taken down. When have I ever done that? I'm just saying I don't think you should go watch him. That's all I said. You can disagree and still do it. I didn't censor him. All I said is my opinion, which is, again, the actual goal and mission of a political commentator. At least it used to be before everyone became morally corrupt. John says, the debate is a horrible idea. A circus show. Candace is not worth engaging with. Better to just critique her ridiculous theories as you do, Joshua. Hi from Ireland. Very cool. Well, thank you, John. Yeah, to be clear, I mean, if Candace Owens agreed to do a debate with me and we could actually have a moderator that we could both agree on and she would actually address her own conspiracy theories and both of us would donate all of the ad revenue to a cause we could agree on, I would do it. So I personally believe that the debate could be a good idea, but not under the terms that have been listed, probably. Rams fan? Are you a Rams fan? I'm a Rams fan. Andrew has debated some of the sharpest minds in America and won. Yes, he would make quick work of Baron Coleman and Candace. I would love to see somebody shut them up even for 5 minutes. I agree. I think he'd win. Nick Mattel should moderate. He actually knows how to debate, so he would be good. Yeah, I don't know about that, though. I mean, I would consider Nick Mattel kind of part of our ecosystem. He's more on the pro-Israeli side, which I think bleeds into what we've been talking about. But like, he hasn't been a massive debunker of these theories. I'm not saying that that's required to be a moderator. I guess I'm just trying to say that he's so opposed to Candace Owens in other ways. I'm not sure that would be the right move for moderator either. I don't know, though. I guess I'm trying to think, like, who would be my ideal moderator? That's a tough one. That's a really tough one. Yeah, Matt Walsh for moderator. Matt Walsh has done a great job, frankly, coming out against Candace Owens. Like, Matt Walsh has done better than Michael in that he was clearer than Michael. And he's followed Michael Knowles' own rules by kind of talking about it less. He's probably only done 2 or 3 episodes on it. But he was just so morally clear on it that I really respect Matt Walsh for that. But no, I don't know if he'd be the best moderator. The murder of Charlie Kirk will be adjudicated in a court of law, not in the court of public opinion. Completely agree. I absolutely completely agree with that. The problem is, and I just have not seen a single person on my side or on most of my viewer side that is trying to adjudicate this in the court of public opinion. All we're trying to do is debunk the people who are trying to do that. I've done countless episodes just reviewing the court documents. During the preliminary hearing, I went inside the courtroom and I watched every single one when I couldn't be in there. And then I proceeded to talk about it. And I talked about how it kicked against Candace's narrative, but at no point did I offer, oh, I think this is because of this. I mean, I did based off of some of my observations, I suppose, but at no point did I say, well, I'm pretty sure this happened because of this. No, it was never anything like that. It was all based on what I was actually seeing and hearing from the prosecution or even from the defense as well. What about the fact that she's demanding that Blake Neff, Andrew Colvett, and Erica Kirk admit that Andrew Wilson is debating on their behalf? There's just no evidence of that. That's the problem. Like, this is just what they do. They randomly throw a claim at you, and it's just like, I can't debunk something that never happened. It's on Candace Owens to prove that that happened. Andrew Wilson sounds like he was a consultant for them for like a couple days, and that was it. And I think he regrets that in some ways because now he can't say, oh, I've never taken money from TPUSA, because he has, but it was like a two-day stint. It wasn't like it has anything to do with what's going on right now, which, you know, that sucks. Just looking through these last questions. Last questions, guys, before we finish up the stream today. I should say as well, again, we're going to be talking tomorrow about how views have massively gone down for Candace Owens, but not just her, other political commentators like Megyn Kelly and Steve Bannon, many others. The New York Times came out with a fascinating piece on it. I have some of my own research I have done. That's going to be fascinating. We do have some other exciting live streams coming up later this week. We have a conversation with a fairly large YouTuber who believes in the conspiracy crap that Candace Owens sells. So that's going to be a fascinating conversation. The thing with just saying it will be settled in court, one, she is actively tainting the jury pool, and two, if there is a guilty verdict, she won't accept it. Exactly. So in terms of like, where is justice going to go? Will it be determined in a court of law? 100%. At no point have I said my opinion of Tyler Robinson is what should determine what happens. Candace Owens followers love to do this. They love to act like when I come out and say that Tyler Robinson is probably going to get the death penalty, that I have already convicted him in my heart and that I am trying to taint the jury pool. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying based on what I've seen, I think a jury is going to convict him and he's going to be executed in it. And so on the other hand, when that happens, it's not going to change anything in terms of the actual public opinion. Again, this is why I think political commentators have a responsibility to actually be clear and share what's true, whether or not it's successful. It does not matter, I guess, at the end of the day. We all have a responsibility to tell the truth, no matter if it's successful in convincing people or not. And yeah, she's also tainting the jury pool. So I think it's incumbent on all of us to try to share the truth so that we can counter that online. Whole truth. Josh, do you think Candace believes her own nonsense or just doing it for money? I think she convinces herself of it. Like all narcissists or liars, the best liars convince themselves of the lies that they tell. So I guess the answer is yes, both. Seinfeld chick says, I don't trust Michael Knowles. He is friends with Candace and godfather, at least one of her children. I get that. I don't think this is an attempt from Michael to get her out of the debate, to be honest. Because Andrew Wilson was the one that suggested Michael Knowles in the first place. Like, it's not like it was Candace Owens. I don't know. I have my disagreements with Michael, but I wouldn't take my disagreements personally that far. Who was this? Someone said, I can't see anybody in the debate arena that will be able to handle Andrew. Here's the one problem that I'll say on that, though, with Andrew, is that the amount of volume of just the amount of content that Candace and Barron and all those people have put out there is difficult to deal with. Like, if I was able to come out every single day and just say whatever I wanted and make up a theory. And then I had everyone else in the world have to learn what I had come up with and try to connect the weird dots on their own. It'd be very difficult for them to contend with it because it's just like too much information. Like, it's easy to pump out information. It's very difficult to take it in. That's, I think, the only thing that he could get tripped up in is she brings something up that like never happened ever. And she's like, do you know about this? He's like, no, I've never heard that in my life. And then she goes on to this whole thing that happened that he can't speak out against, but it never actually happened. That's difficult. Yeah, exactly. How do you debate nonsense anyway? It's difficult. That's why the parameters of the debate are so important. If it's just nonsense that's allowed, then I think Andrew, you know, he could lose. I know it sounds crazy because it's like Candace Owens isn't smart. She's not sharing facts, but you gotta be very careful with this. No, let Erica moderate the debate. No, she would throw hands. She would probably punch Candace and we'd all enjoy watching her do it. All right, last questions before we finish up. I promised 40-minute stream, no longer. No longer, no shorter. We have 2 minutes left. Analytical chemist says, fact, the only people who want to investigate the other person on the rooftop videotape during his death are anti-Semites like Candace. I'm fine not knowing who he is, and you should be too. Well, again, the defense has all the power to do that investigation and bring it out in court. So if they don't find that it does anything for their client, then it almost doesn't matter. And so that's why the natural progression, this is why it won't matter what the jury decides, but the natural progression, and we're already seeing this from Candace Owens and her followers, is to say that the defense is in on it. Because otherwise, what we can point to is I'll just say, well, why didn't the defense bring that up? And that's a really sound argument, but for them, all they can say is, oh, but they didn't bring it up because they're trying to get Tyler Robinson convicted too. Okay. Thanks so much for joining today, guys. Do check out my sponsor, Cloaked. Like, they're fantastic. There's few companies that are willing to actually support some of the good guys. And, you know, shamelessly, I do think I'm one of the good guys. I try to be. And so go check them out. It's a fantastic product. It gives you a VPN on your phone, helps get all those spam calls to stop calling you. It's part of me and my family security. It's just a small part of the cybersecurity that we have in order to remain safe. And if you use that custom code in the description below, it does help me in my channel. So go check them out. I appreciate you guys. God bless.